You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Monday, everybody. Remember, you can listen to Civic Media wherever you may go or be. Just download our free app wherever you get your apps from. Pick your favorite station. I come to you from 540 AM WAUK. And then you can listen again everywhere you are. We've got a great guest for you this afternoon. Her name is Emily Yee. She is the Senior Vice President of Inclusive Growth for the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Emily. Thank you for making time.
Thanks for having me on, Maggie.
So it's bad. It's really bad, you might say. Donald Trump's terror of tariffs have been tanking the global economy over the last 3 days, and we haven't seen the worst of it yet. I want to remind everyone that the reciprocal tariffs have yet to take effect. Many of those are coming on board Wednesday, so we haven't even seen the full Monty yet. We are seeing layoffs of workers across some companies. Consumer sentiment tanking. Economists, we had Goldman Sachs for the second time in as many weeks today saying that we have a 45% chance of a recession. Some economists now calling it a certainty. I'll also note that the chief investment strategist at BlackRock, the world's largest money manager, posted today and said what the markets are trying to do now is not deal with uncertainty, but deal with the certainty of bad outcomes, and that stagflation, where growth or GDP tanks while inflation increases, that stagflation is basically to be expected now. What is this all going to mean for regular people, Emily?
So I think you hit the nail on the head, Maggie. These tariffs are bad for the American economy, and they're bad for American families. We are, you know, not just seeing the effect of tariffs, sometimes tariffs on, sometimes tariffs off, but we're going to see enormous taxes on everything that Americans buy that's imported, from groceries to clothing to household goods. And it's more than just the tariffs, some of which went into effect on the weekend, some more that are going into effect as high as 50% on Wednesday. But also a trade war where you're seeing other countries reciprocate and slap tariffs on in return for things that are made here in America.
Just today, I'm seeing reporting since I got on air that Donald Trump is threatening China, who is basically not blinking. Every indication from China is that they are going to match increases in tariffs with their own tariffs. That, from a global economic standpoint, is the trade war, quote unquote, that we're also very worried about. Donald Trump saying, since I've gotten onto the air, that if China does that, Donald Trump will slap, as I read it, an additional 50% of tariffs. When people look in their homes, when they look in their closets, in their garages, at their entertainment systems, at the devices in their hands, so much of those products, so many, a vast majority of consumer products have a component or a part or entirely manufactured in China specifically, Emily. What are the anticipated costs? Do we have average household hold anticipated costs? I've seen wildly varying estimates, but what might be we be looking at for an average Wisconsin family?
Sure. So the average family, whether in Wisconsin or elsewhere in the country, can expect to pay about $3,800 more per year because of Trump's tariffs. That's equivalent to a 2.3% increase in inflation that we expect to see as a bump up in prices. And, you know, that's just the tariffs themselves, never mind this ratcheting up that he has been talking about today, where he would not, you know, not only tax China the 20%, he's already taxed us, you and me and Wisconsin families, 20% plus another 34% going into effect on Wednesday. And now he's threatening another 50%, which would mean that in essence, everything from China would be double the cost it is now. And so you take something like, you know, say a car seat for your kid that costs, $50 now, that's going to cost $100. You take something like an item of clothing and you've doubled the price for that. So it's going to be a lot of things. And it's not, you know, this is at a pace and without the sort of investments that you would want to be able to, you know, make some of this stuff here in America. And it's also on a scale that we just can't possibly, respond to. And so American families are going to pay the price in terms of higher costs.
One of the things, Emily, that really concerns me is that these estimates are estimates as of best information today, right? And as the economy worsens, in fact, if the pace of, if we do end up seeing a full-blown recession, if we see persistent stagflation, if economic forecasts continue to build into pricing this pervasive pessimism, these numbers could actually get much worse for families. And we haven't talked about folks that are in retirement or near to retirement who are on a fixed income. Howard Lutnick over the weekend telling Americans, listen, suck it up. Stop worrying about your 401ks so much. What do retirees face in this kind of an economic environment, Emily?
Ooh, I'd be worried. The stock market lost 10% in just 2 days after Trump's announcement. It is hanging in there today, but that, you know, it's not recovered from that drop. And I expect things could get even worse. I think there's still some skepticism whether he will allow other countries to negotiate this away. You've gotten conflicting messages from his advisors. Some say it's open to negotiation. Others say, no, we're going to raise revenue. It's fundamentally contradictory what they're after. But I think if you see these tariffs go into effect, you will see the market react again. In fact, Goldman Sachs, in addition to ratcheting up that prediction on the likelihood of recession, also said in that same note that if the tariffs do go into effect the way that Trump has them scheduled to this week, they will upgrade that forecast again and expect to say recession is not just, you know, 40%, 45% going to happen, but is likely to happen, more likely than not.
Folks, that's Emily Gee. She is the Senior Vice President of Inclusive Growth for the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Let's zoom out a little bit, Emily, and I'm going to spend some time, I don't know if I'll do it with you or on the other side, talking about what's the point of the tariff and the fact that there seem to be conflicting accounts. Nobody actually seems to know what the point is. But zooming out more broadly, Donald Trump has been promising tax cuts. Now, we know that in Donald Trump's first administration, that northwards of 85% of the absolute dollar benefit, as well as a huge proportion, even on a relative percentage benefit of Donald Trump's tax cuts, accrued to the top 1% of all income earners and the top 0.01% of all wealth holders in the United States. In other words, yeah, us regular people might have felt some sort of tax relief, but it was eclipsed to the tune of trillions of dollars by the benefit that went to the wealthiest Americans who least need a tax cut. What exactly is going on here, Emily? I don't, like, make the math for me. I can't make sense of this. We're tanking the economy. We're driving down economic growth. You're burdening American consumers with all the more expensive goods. At the same time, you're considering yet again giving a tax cut that will disproportionately benefit the ultra wealthy. How does this all work out?
It's not going to work out for American families who are going to be paying a lot more because of tariffs, but also not getting the benefits of these tax cuts, which are going to be tilted toward the wealthy. That's Trump's top legislative priority in Congress, is pressuring both the House and the Senate to pass this enormous tax giveaway package, which, as you said, is primarily stacked to the wealthy. The extension that the House of Representatives passed earlier was about $4 trillion $4 trillion of just the extensions of his earlier tax bill, $1 trillion of which would have gone to the top 1%. And that, supposedly the tariffs are going to pay for that. You know, the other things on the table are deep cuts to Medicaid healthcare for low-income families all across America, or possibly deep cuts to food security like SNAP. And that means that if we do go into recession, which could be likely, those programs are going to be there for Americans when they need them.
Yeah, it is certainly an incredibly bleak outlook. The very idea that we're approaching a place where the funding burden, like how the federal government is going to be funded, is being massively shifted. There was, even to the extent that you could make an argument that the rich were paying some share, right? The corporations are paying some share of the funding obligations, moving to a sales tax based funding system for the federal government, which is what tariffs are. They are sales taxes paid for by middle class consumers. That at the same time you're doing that, that you promise effectively corporate welfare and billionaire welfare, is going to lead to a revenue and expenses problem. Is this going to make the deficit better? Are we going to be able to reduce the deficit, which I hear Republicans talk about all the time? Or is it likely to make things worse and thus require even more cuts to these kinds of essential programs?
I think those are absolutely valid worries. So, you know, you have these tariffs, which may or may not raise revenue depending on how much they're negotiating and trying to strong arm countries into getting concessions, or whether they'll just take them off because there is a serious recession threat. But you see deep cuts to the safety net. And you also see willingness among the Republicans in Congress to do massive deficit spending, to the point where they are rewriting the rules of the Senate so that they can spend trillions of dollars to pretend that their tax bill is free. What that means is a higher debt, national debt, which in turn means higher interest rates, which means that people, you and me are going to be paying more for auto loans, for mortgages, and for other things that are crucial to making it.
Folks, that's Emily G of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to leave it there with Emily. Thank you so much. We're going to begin and continue, take up again my conversation with each and every one of you about the impacts in your family of Trump's terror of tariffs plan. I don't know how any of the math is going to math here, everybody. We talk about it on the flip side. What does it mean in Wisconsin and for your pocketbook next? Right here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Does it feel to you like there's a chain of fools running our nation's economic policy right now? Because I'm kind of getting that vibe. Who actually knows what the heck is going on? I'm not sure I do. I don't think Donald Trump does. What do you think? 855-752-4842. Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Monday to you. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation. In terms of the economy, the news continues to be bad, in a word. If you have not listened to the show before, I am myself an economist and a lawyer. I bring my best skills at taking what I'm going to call like the techno speak and demystifying it so we can all understand everything that's happening a little bit better. Ron Johnson gave an interview late last week with PBS NewsHour. We're gonna take a little bit of that sound in a moment. But I just want to like zoom back out on everything that is happening both here in the state of Wisconsin, nationally, and frankly, globally in terms of economics. as well as what that portends when we take that together with everything else the Donald Trump administration is doing. And before I dive into that, I want you, if you are more inclined to vote Republican, if you are a conservative, if you are a MAGA supporter, I want us to try to engage in this thought experiment where we leave our politics, our party preferences behind and ask ourselves very honestly if these kinds of outcomes would be acceptable if it was the other team, right? Because it can't simply be like, oh, I'm fine if the economy is tanking as long as it's my guy that's doing it, right? Like that is not a salient, that is not a good faith way to assess the performance of a president, a governor, or a mayor. So I go, all the bad things, I just ignore those when it's my guy, my team. And President Obama had to make this very point last week, or was it over the weekend? He was talking at Hamilton College in Clinton, New York, and he made this very point. Let's take a listen to what President Obama had to say. I believe this is late last week.
Imagine if I had done any of this. let me just want to be clear about this. Imagine if I had pulled Fox News' credentials from the White House press corps. You're laughing, but no, this is what's happening. It's unimaginable that the same parties that are silent now would have tolerated behavior like that from me or a whole bunch of my predecessors. I say this not on a partisan basis. This has to do with something more precious, which is, who are we as a country and what values do we stand for?
That is the question of the moment. As Senator Cory Booker put it, this is our moral moment. So we can look at, hey, how is your 401k doing? What is the price of eggs? We can look at those things. We can look at gas prices, and we will, and we should. But I think it's really important to zoom way back out and to just count on one or two hands here the institutions or the consistencies that Donald Trump is attacking, and ask yourself, what is the point? I think it is important to criticize meaningfully with purpose institutions, especially when institutions fail to reflect the values that the vast majority of us agree about. I think it is important to criticize and ask questions of institutions of both government and higher education and religion when they fail, to audit them, to do better, to point out their inefficiencies and where they are ineffective. But if we zoom way out and we look at the message from MAGA when it comes to some basic things in our country that have, with mistakes, with setbacks, with blind spots, in large part improved our quality of life, made this country wealthy and, yes, great. Donald Trump is fundamentally attacking each and every one of those systems and institutions. The rule of law, and yes, is Lady Justice blind? No. And who does it punish? Not Republicans or Democrats. It punishes poor people more. Our universities, our public education systems, have these gotten us always the outcomes that we think they should? No. Have they done so in the best ways possible at all times? No. But the very notion of being civic-minded and well-educated about civics, he has attacked. He has attacked not just the rule of law, but law firms, specific lawyers. He has attacked our allies on the world political stage, destabilizing all of Western Europe, befriending authoritarians, and he has now disrupted the entire world economy. Is it a world economy that always worked to lift up and value people that work the hardest? Absolutely not. Is it a world economy that needs criticism and critical thinking? Yes. But whether it's the rule of law or foreign allegiances to help preserve democracy in this world, or the global economy, which has been able to lift so many of us out of poverty and give us all a glimmer of hope that our kids may do better than we did, he's blowing all of that up. But the question has to be, where are we going? Where is your family headed? Where are we headed as a country? We're going to dig in, take your calls and texts next. What is the point of all of this? 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You're not going to go anywhere. We continue to unbundle the riddle that is Donald Trump when we come back right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to join this fine program, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. A bunch of breaking news of various types and shapes and forms. I want to share all of this with you. First of all, Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court has temporarily paused a deadline set by a lower federal court for the Trump administration to return Abrego Garcia from El Salvador. Response to the government's application is due tomorrow by noon. This just breaking moments ago. Again, you'll recall late on Friday, a federal court required the U.S. government, the Trump administration specifically, to return a Maryland man who was, by the Trump administration's own admission, accidentally, oopsies, I'm so sorry, deported and has landed in one of the world's most notorious and dangerous prisons. Supreme Court saying, man, that might have been just fine. We'll wait a few days before you're required to bring him back. We'll see. Let's have some briefing on it. I just want to ask you this. If it was your loved one who has disappeared in the middle of the night with no due process and ended up in one of the world's most harsh, most life-threatening prisons, and the Supreme Court was like, well, let's just give it a few days. Want to hear what the lawyers have to say. Well, I don't know if that'd bring you much comfort. Just saying. Also, Donald Trump in the White House with Israel Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu, when asked about the tariff policy, said this, which is a lie. From 1870 to 1913, our country was the strongest. You want to know why? It was all tariff-based. As if the economy from 1870 to 1913 is comparable today, as if the country was the strongest it ever was from 1870 to 1913. You know what happened like just a little while after that, as all of the steel magnates and the railroad magnates and the Vanderbilts and the Carnegies amassed and controlled the vast majority of the nation's wealth and created monopolies that couldn't be broken and said, it's fine, you can just trust us. We'll be the keepers of the nation's wealth, and you silly working people, that's fine. You know what eventually happened? The Great Depression and breadlines. I mean, what is this man even talking about? Just insane. He was also specifically asked if he was considering pausing tariffs, responded, we're not looking at that. No, not at all. I mean, this is bananas. So when we zoom back out and we look at all this, like, where is it going? Because here's what's happening, everybody. And then I want to get you on the phones, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, because this is insane. Okay? None of this makes any sense. And here is the fallacy I want us all looking out for. When they do say something that sounds somewhat reasonable, okay, like an explainer, like there should be greater efficiency in government, that like sounds reasonable, doesn't it? You're not along with that. Yes. Their rationale does not ever, as a matter of logic or reasonableness, it is not a sufficient or sometimes even necessary rationale that explains the action that they take. It's like, oh, well, government should be more efficient. Yes, we agree with that. That sounds reasonable. Dot, dot, dot. We'll fire 80,000, 82,000 people from the VA. Like, you can't, those things don't go together. Like, some reduction in force, probably, but 82,000? Not 79, not 63. Not 1,000. You get what I'm saying? So, like, rationale does not explain action. And then when you look at the action, it's like, okay, so we can't look at your rationale to explain the action because those two things don't logically go together. And then even when the media tries to sane wash the insane actions with other potential more reasonable explainers for the action, the outcomes that we're getting don't match up with those either. So, like, again, the rationale for the action makes no sense. And then, folks, if we look at the outcomes don't match the action. And we're going to see that more and more. So I ask us always, let's test the rationale. Does that make sense to justify X action? And even if X action is by some explanation reasonable, well, then what is the outcome that we wish to see and how do we measure that? None of this stuff is susceptible to that. None of it. Let's blow up the Western Alliance. Well, to what end? So that Putin gets Ukraine? I don't know. Like, what it would... So NATO allies contribute more to NATO? They're doing that already. Like, what is the thing that we're trying to get? Tariff policy. Well, it shouldn't be to make everything more expensive, though that's what's happening. It shouldn't be the objective being to tank your 401k. So what is the point? And Donald Trump's own advisors don't know what the point is. Attacking the world's largest law firms and extorting hundreds of millions in alleged or claimed pro bono services. To what point? So that lawyers stop representing people that Donald Trump disagrees with? Well, is that better for our country or the world? None of it works out together. Except for two explainers which explain all of it. The only ways to make all of this make sense together is if these two things are true. Thing one, it will make Donald Trump and billionaires in this country richer. If it will do that, you'll see him doing it. The second thing is, if it gives Donald Trump more power. You can't make all of these things stitch together and make it make sense unless those are the two outcomes. That's it. We'll talk more about it. I want to hear from you. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. One of my favorite conservatives on the line. CJ, my friend, how are you? How's your 401k doing today?
Well, it's down a little bit, but I'm buying in. This is a great time, great opportunity. I'm like Warren Buffett, I guess. He's buying in too. You know,
what do you mean by buying in, CJ? What do you mean by buying in, CJ?
Did you watch the Rose Garden ceremony?
What do you mean by buying in, CJ? You said you're buying in and Warren Buffett's buying in. What do you mean?
Market.
What deals do you think are out there?
You need to do a little research, Maggie.
I'm asking you. Make me smarter, CJ. Make me smarter, CJ. What should people be buying if you've got this all figured out?
Well, you know, I don't know. That's the beauty.
Whoop, there we go. Thanks, CJ. It's been fun to play this afternoon. I'll give you, what did you want to say? I'm trying to actually have a conversation about like tariffs and the cost of things. We were going to vote for Trump because it was going to make eggs cheaper and gas prices go down and housing was going to get less expensive. How's that going, CJ?
It's happening.
No, CJ, can we at least, I can't have it. Wait. I really want to have a discussion with you, but you and I have to be able to actually start with facts. Are eggs more expensive today than they were before Donald Trump was sworn in?
Did you see all the union membership at the
CJ, can we just start? I don't care which union members decided to show up with Donald Trump. I can pull 100 more union members that think this is stupid. It kind of depends on what industry you're in. I just want us to start with some facts. Is the economy better today than the day before Donald Trump was inaugurated?
Is the UAW president...
Oh, my gosh. CJ, can you please answer a question about facts without deflecting to whatever other context you want to provide? I just want us, you and I, to start with some facts. Is the economy doing better today than it was on January 19th?
It depends on how you measure the economy.
Tell me the measurement. Make a case for me that the economy is stronger today than it was on January 19th.
There's some uncertainty.
Some uncertainty.
Main Street.
Some uncertainty.
Can I finish a sentence with you? Main Street is excited as hell.
CJ, that is not factually true, sir. Consumer sentiment by every single survey I have seen, doesn't matter the source, consumer sentiment is in the toilet, sir. So I don't know what Main Street you're talking about. Including Republicans are not confident about the state of the economy. So make the case to me that inflation is better, that consumer sentiment is better, that GDP growth is expanding. Tell me what metric other than your made-up Main Street, because that's not factually true.
How about the volatility index?
The volatility index is out of control, sir. That is the volatility. I can't hear him. Why is it? Tell me. Let me just ask a baseline question then, CJ. What generally do businesses want? More or less volatility?
Wall Street doesn't want it, but Main Street.
What does a business? CJ, that's just. All right, I got to let him go. Whether you're a small business owner or JP Morgan Chase, businesses crave predictability. You want to know how much your supply chain products are each going to cost in 6 months. You want to know at least what the range is so that you can budget. I don't know what Main Street CJ is talking about other than people who may be MAGA supporters who just refuse to talk about reality on the ground on some, frankly, Panglossian, hopeful, you know, I don't know, fantasy translation of what's going on. So let's turn to rationale plus action plus outcome. This past weekend on the Sunday talk shows, Howard Lutnick, Secretary of Commerce, Scott Bessent, Secretary of Treasury, and Peter Navarro, Donald Trump's trade advisor, all gave conflicting and different answers to two questions, which were, what's the outcome that we're seeking here, and what is the rationale for what he's doing? In other words, versions of, are these tariffs here to stay? And none of them gave consistent answers. Here's David Frum. Don't want to believe me? Let's talk about somebody that's supposedly extremely smart. David Frum, well-known economist and commentator, said this. You want to believe that there must be intelligent and honest people somewhere inside of the Trump economic policy machine trying to limit the damage. But as with the existence of leprechauns, there is no empirical basis for this belief. Whirlpool laying off hundreds of people, a car manufacturing laying off 1,000+ workers. Other than the main street through CJ's brain, I'm not sure who he's talking about that thinks the economy is doing better. We continue the discussion on the flip side. My name is Maggie Dawn. Join us, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
It's not a drill. You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I might be happy when it rains, but I don't like it when the economy is tanking. And it doesn't matter what mountain of garbage, lies, and spin room BS is used to explain it. This is not good. It is not supposed to be this way. And the interesting thing, despite our friend CJ's protestations to the contrary, is even the MAGAs are starting to freak out a little bit. There is a right-wing influencer. His name is Richard Hanania. I don't know how to say this guy's name. It's Hanania. I think that's it. Anyways, Charlie Sykes left me some breadcrumbs to this guy. This guy is a huge MAGA. Huge MAGA. He actually wrote this. For those asking now, yes, voting for Trump was a mistake. Again, this is from like a big cheerleader of the MAGA movement. Yes, voting for Trump was a mistake. I thought we'd get a repeat of the first administration, but we didn't. The signs were there. I just didn't believe them. I didn't take the awfulness of Trump and MAGA seriously enough. Nobody knew how bad. The most extreme clinical case of Trump derangement syndrome was closest to truth. This is a guy who is pro-MAGA and Trump. You can't make it up. How about this, CJ? You think Jamie Dimon might have it a little bit more accurately than the MAGAs on this. Finally came around and had this to say. This is Jamie Dimon, CEO of JP Morgan Chase. We are likely to see inflationary outcomes. Whether or not the menu of tariff causes a recession remains in question, but it will slow down growth. Bill Ackman, everybody remember Bill Ackman? Big Trump supporter. Loved him. Billionaire. These are all billionaires, by the way. The president is losing the confidence of business leaders around the globe. This is not what we voted for. We are heading for a self-induced economic nuclear winter, and we should start hunkering down. Gee whiz, Bill. Where were you back in October, buddy? How about this? Richard Branson, CEO of Virgin Group and the founder thereof. This is the moment to own up to a colossal mistake and change course. Otherwise, America will face ruin for years to come. Jay Hatfield, another conservative, he's the CEO of Infrastructure Capital Advisors, said this. This is unambiguously stupid. If only Jamie Dimon had been warned. You know what I'm saying? But Jamie Dimon had this to say about tariffs just back in January. If it's a little inflationary but good for national security, so be it. Get over it. Again, Jamie Dimon now. The quicker this issue is resolved, the better, because some of the negative effects increase cumulatively over time and would be hard to reverse. Oops. It's just no strategy here. None. By the way, here are the potential rationales for the tariffs. It's about fentanyl, except it's not, because more fentanyl comes in through the U.S., Mexico, and Canada borders by citizens and in small packages, and there's the $1,000, like $800 exemption on Chinese tariffs, and most of the fentanyl comes in through these small packages. Anyway, okay, so it's not really about fentanyl, so it's not that. Other ones, it's about the trade balance. Basically, every single thing that you've heard Donald Trump say about trade deficits is all a lie, at best, a mischaracterization. The U.S. hasn't had a trade surplus in goods in decades because we consume a ton of stuff. We have a trade surplus in services. What's going to happen there? By the way, no country has a just like net zero trade, perfectly balanced trade. That doesn't exist. Bring manufacturing back. Well, that's going to take a long time, and that would require the tariffs to be semi-permanent. But that's not what half of the Trump administration officials are saying. Well, then if it's not permanent and it's not about bringing manufacturing back, well, then it's a negotiating strategy. You know who's happy? Rich people. Of which Donald Trump is one. Now, I'm going to give you three possible sort of techno-speak economist reads on what happens next. Some sort of deal is made with China. And I'm talking about on tariffs. That's option one. I don't think that's where we're headed, but maybe that's where it's headed. And if they get some kind of deal with China, then maybe that creates some space for some other deals to get cut with the EU and other big trading partners. I'm not holding my breath. It seems far too chaotic to be that. Another outcome is Donald Trump just digs in and, like, this is what we're living with for God knows how long. In which case, people who are of Main Street, who are truthfully saying we're not happy, we're feeling pain, it will be up to us to stand up and say this is not what we voted for. And then I think the third option is just kind of more chaos and maybe some small side deals, and then it's just going to degrade into basically corrupt favor trading, and I'll pick winners and losers. Who thinks that one might be the most likely option here? The favor trading and corruption. It's not looking good at all. So tighten your belts. It's going to be a wild ride. I will be here with each and every one of you every day to get us all through it together. Whew. Tomorrow, I'm going to have Dan Schaefer on. We're going to chat about what the tanking economy means here in Wisconsin politics. What's next? You might even listen to Rojo try to defend some of this craziness. All tomorrow, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.